Aren't they real nice, honey? I'm here every Wednesday. Aren't they great?
How y'all doing?
It's my husband.
Nice to meet you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay. Well, we are the Bagdanovs. We've been married for 15 years. We have two kids. Our daughter Hope is 13, and our son Andrew is 12. And we are living the junior high dream.
Don't be jealous.
Our prayer tonight is that you'd be encouraged by what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do in our marriages as we follow him and allow his spirit to do his work in and through us, and that it is possible for every marriage here tonight. Marriages have their ebbs and flows, or their peaks and valleys, and tonight we want to share with you where we are, and it happens to be a valley.
Well, good evening, friends. It is a privilege to be here tonight in this seat for Leonard and I to share our marriage story with you. My life began in the great state of Oklahoma, where I grew up. I was the third of four children. Thank you. Go Pokes.
All roads lead.
Uh-huh. Promised land. Anything else? I was the third of four children with a mom who led our family and a dad who struggled with alcoholism. My parents separated when I was five and eventually divorced 2 years later. I grew up going to church on Sundays, but didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The ministry of Young Life introduced me to the gospel, that I needed to understand Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and respond through belief that Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for my sin. And I did so on November 8th, 1980. My life has never been the same since. My faith in Christ grew through my 20s and 30s through personal study, biblical community, and church membership. However, there were a couple of areas in my life that lacked full surrender to the Lord. Guilt and shame would overcome me emotionally when I felt unaccepted, unloved, or insecure. I had a tendency to go back to old coping patterns when I wasn't living fully surrendered to Jesus. When I was young, I looked to others, my achievements, both academically and athletically, or a mirror for acceptance, approval, and hope. And I used food to help push down my emotions when I didn't feel affirmed. So if in my job, my relationships, or lack thereof, I didn't date a ton growing up, or my outer appearance didn't match what I thought it should be or what I interpreted others thought it should be, I struggled. In my 30s, God worked in and through my heart, allowing me to deal emotionally and understand more fully, spiritually, my full acceptance by God through Christ. These areas of guilt and shame and overeating are for sure old patterns that I go back to in times of feeling out of control. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a favorite verse of mine that is a constant reminder of my new life in Christ. It says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." I often wondered through my 20s and 30s if God's best for me was to remain single. I wanted to be married and had a fun social network of young adults that included both men and women, but was pretty content with the work God was doing in and through me as a single woman. At age 34, I moved to Dallas to pursue a master's degree, and I also began working at Watermark. After graduating, I helped the church begin specific ministries in the area of pastoral care, one being Celebrate Recovery, which is now called Regeneration. It was here that God would answer my question of singleness, as well as provide sweet community and accountability for me in the areas of my struggle.
Before marriage, I came through the doors of recovery, carrying the baggage of homosexuality and sexual identity issues. I grew up in the church, in a Christian home, accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior at the age of six. In my sophomore year of college, I gave in to homosexual desires and had my first sexual experience. Alcohol would be the common denominator in my social network for the next 10 to 15 years and be a major trigger for acting out. I moved to Texas in March of 2001 on a temporary job rotation. Temporary. I was only supposed to be here for 18 to 24 months. Do the math, and began attending Watermark that summer. in August of 2002, more than a year of creating a new rut for myself here in Dallas, I happened to read in the Watermark News about Celebrate Recovery. I couldn't deny the contents of the 12 steps. My life was unmanageable and out of control, and it was the first time I ever verbalized my struggle and began my path of life change and redemption.
In August of 2002, God brought Leonard into my life, first with friendship, then a dating relationship, and that progressed into marriage, and everything changed for us. My life, which in my 20s and 30s was marked by a growing faith and contented singleness, now in my 40s, we married when I was 41, I entered into a new, different, and exciting life stage with the fulfilled desire to be married. I now had a lifelong partner. We had both journeyed through recovery as singles and were on the other side, or so we thought. And so we were married now and ready to enter into the world together, pursuing oneness.
God did a work in my life, and I felt like I was on this spiritual fast track. Recovery, new life in Christ, healthy friendships, community, men in my life pointing me to Christ and what life could be in him. And then God moved my heart to another, and that was Mandy, and I fell in love. I was on a roll. After dating a couple of years, I proposed, and Mandy said yes. We were married in August of 2006.
Hang on, we have a picture somewhere, I think. Do we have a picture? There it is.
Yeah, look at them. And began a new life together, surrounded by the love and support of our community and key people in our lives that continue to encourage us in these uncharted waters of marriage. This is where I learned the meaning of Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. 9 months into our marriage, we found out we were pregnant. We had no idea at our age that we would be having kids, and we were so excited, and I took this as another sign of being on the spiritual fast track. Hope was born in January of 2008, and we were living the newlywed newborn life. Things were going our way. We were superheroes having kids at our age, and I was convinced the Lord would continue to bless us with what we wanted, like more kids. But I also began to feel the pressure to perform. I felt like we had this limited window to have more kids, and since we started and we were successful, I felt like I had to finish it. It was around this time that, in order to perform, I fell into homosexual fantasy during our physical intimacy. Instead of processing through the emotions of performance and those insecurities, I defaulted to old coping. Little did I know how this would impact our sex life going forward. Around this time, a dear friend confessed to an 11-year marital affair, and listening to her confession, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I heard him telling me, "You are no different than her. Your infidelity has been happening in your mind whenever you are fantasizing during physical intimacy." And it was a crushing blow of realization, and knew I had to confess that to Mandy. And this sent shockwaves through our marriage in the areas of trust.
I was shocked with Leonard's confession. Throughout our first 4 years of marriage, we had kept short accounts with each other, drawing the circle around ourselves, owning our own part of the conflict, confessing our sins to each other, and being vulnerable with our community group. Our marriage wasn't perfect, but I felt like it was healthy and we were growing as a couple. I had no idea how our physical intimacy was tangled with Leonard's mental struggle because of his homosexual past. His confession hurt me deeply, and I tried to escape the pain, which left me feeling betrayed, unloved, and insecure. After an authentic conversation with a member of our community group and some individual time in the Bible and prayer, God brought me to the book of Jonah, and when he was inside the belly of the fish. I ran from God, trying to escape my pain. Jonah ran from God because he was asked by God to call people to repentance. I knew God was asking me to forgive Leonard. Jonah knew God's response to repenting people would be that of grace and compassion, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents concerning calamity. I knew that's how God wanted me to love Leonard. But both Jonah and I were faced with this difficult truth. Even if I didn't know how Leonard's actions could or would change, God was calling me to forgive him and be an extension of God's character to him. Could I trust God and be faithful to him? You see, a perfect marriage wasn't the goal, and it wouldn't heal my wounded heart. Christ, who healed my past hurts, was going to be the one who healed my present ones. Marriage was another opportunity for me to allow God's perfect love in and remind me my identity wasn't in my marriage or Leonard, but in Christ.
Y'all, what a gift. I have one job. Be the man, be the husband, and be the dad. Okay, maybe that's three, but you get the picture. Lead self, serve and cherish my wife, and shepherd my kids. Those are the three legs of the relationship stool I'm responsible for. When I'm being led by the Spirit is when I'm at my best. It takes daily intentionality on my part. This is where the Lord is refining me in my relationships. To lead with compassion and not judgment. Not to place adult expectations on kids, especially adolescents, and keeping my expectations realistic. And control the one thing I can, my responses. And it has been a long season for me in this area, and the Lord continues to reveal to me my own selfishness, especially as it relates to marriage.
As we continue to grow our family with two great kids, Hope is our biological kid, and Andrew is our sweet, precious adopted from the Ukraine. We are privileged to integrate family. There they are. Aren't they the cutest things ever? To integrate family into our new lives in Christ, from singleness to marriage to family. How do I apply God's truth in parenting? How do I continue to walk in this new identity as a mom, not basing my worth on my children's performance, what others think of them, and what they look like? One of the struggles that I consistently have with being a parent is listening to understand versus telling to be understood. I believe that I'm a pretty great parent. I am fun, encouraging, and ready to make a memory at a moment's notice. However, if it's not the kind of fun I like, or my kid's behavior doesn't deliver what I'm asking or on my timetable, my own plan or the way I think things need to happen can get in the way of my parenting and loving our kids the way Christ created them to be loved. I am selfish. I have a plan and often forget that I'm a child of God and that His plan is best, not only for me, but also for our family.
So the valley. This has been a year of transition for me and Mandy as well as our family, and honestly, it's been a lot harder than we anticipated. In May, some of you know, of 2020, we left our jobs, sold our house, bought a truck and a fifth wheel, an RV, and headed west. And so we had almost a year on the road. Reentry and lots of circumstances, including new jobs, parenting, as Mandy mentioned, and the business of this life stage have contributed to us being siloed rather than unified. So the old coping strategies for me have reared their ugly head more this past year than in past years, as recently as last week. And the cycle of my confession and leaving out the 2%, asking forgiveness for both, has been discouraging to Mandy, and once again affects trust in our marriage and oneness. In order to build trust, I have to learn to communicate and let her in. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" I used to apply this verse, and still do, to my struggle, but now it is applying it to my marriage. My struggle looked and looks differently after 4 years of marriage or 15 years of marriage, but the call is still the same, to take up my cross daily. And this still looks like leading self, openly communicating early in whatever situation, be it emotional intimacy or physical intimacy. The other area to rebuild trust is tackling the issue at hand. Thoughts, thought life, and my relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And this has to be a way of life for me. I have to be intentional in my actions. And one way the Spirit revealed that to me was by this principle of taking thoughts captive to make it obedient to Christ and honoring my wife.
I want to close by reintroducing myself to you. Good evening. My name is Mandy. I have a new life in Christ and struggle with my selfishness and how that affects my marriage and parenting. I want to run from pain that I cause or that I feel from others. However, God's best for me is not to run. God's best for me is to continue to trust and lean into my identity as a follower of Jesus, to love Leonard and our kids the way Christ does. The goal is not a perfect marriage or a perfect family. The goal is to remember my identity is Jesus Christ, who loved me perfectly. The integration of my identity in Christ in my marriage is a lifelong dance for Leonard and I. The Lord couldn't have chosen a better partner for me. Leonard is patient and kind and accepting of me. And together, we are learning as partners how Christ loves us and loves through us, and most importantly, to our sweet children. My encouragement to you is to find yourself in this story. Do you know that your identity is in Christ? Do you know that in Christ, you're a new creation? Are you running from extending your spouse the love and forgiveness you have received from God through Christ? Are you in a dark place asking God for answers? Are you struggling with parenting and the effects that has on your marriage? Are you at a place in your marriage that God is calling you to give to others the comfort you have been given? Are you running from the pain of how unloved, unwanted, and insecure you feel in your marriage? Are you struggling with the temptation from nagging parts of a former addiction and want to give up? Friends, if you relate to any of those questions, you are in the right place. Thank you for welcoming us here tonight. Thank you for listening to God's story of redemption in our lives and the work He has done and is doing in our marriage. And thank you for letting us share.